that are the most significant days in the history of the universe. One was the day of creation, and two was the day that Jesus walked out of the grave. I heard a person say, another person say recently that all of life is and can be like a conveyor belt of disappointment, like one disappointment after another, seeking to find fulfillment and satisfaction and ultimate joy and happiness and purpose and all of those kinds of things in this life right now. And the resurrection proves to us, reminds us, shows us that Jesus has revolutionized reality. Okay, here's the good news for everybody in the room, regardless of who you are and what you come in with this morning. The good news is that you are invited today to rejoice. Regardless of how you feel, regardless of how far off you think you are and how bad you've blown it or think you've blown it, whatever it is that you come in with this morning, you're invited to rejoice. And it's not because you're amazing. It's because Jesus conquered the grave. 2,000 years ago, God himself in the person of his son Jesus came from heaven to earth to seek and save that which is lost. To call those who could not save themselves, who could not make themselves right with God, who could not fix the problem of their sin. Jesus lived the life that you and I could not, would not live. Perfect life of loving obedience to the Father, a perfect loving life of love toward people, a righteous and holy life, fulfilling the law of God. Jesus did that, and he went to the cross, and he paid the penalty, the full penalty, once for all that you and I deserve to pay. You and I, because of our sins, were guilty before God, rightly judged, rightly condemned before a holy and righteous God. And Jesus, though he had known no sin, became sin on our behalf. He was buried, and then 3 days later, by the power of God, he rose. Jesus defeated death. He defeated sin, and now he calls sinners and sufferers of all kinds to turn from their sin, believe upon him and what he's accomplished, so that we might be the righteousness of God. It's not just forgiveness of sins that Jesus offers us, it's his very righteousness. This is what 2 Corinthians 5 promises us, that he who knew no sin became sin. He didn't just take on some sin. Jesus, even though he knew no sin, he became sin on our behalf, so that through faith in him, you and I might become the righteousness of God. It's the greatest news in the world. And so you, man, you're invited to celebrate. Sometimes I feel like, am I allowed to celebrate today? I know what's in my heart. I know what I'm struggling with. I know how short I still fall. You're invited to celebrate, not because you're amazing, but because Jesus is amazing. Not because the gospel is what you work out by how well you do in life, because the gospel is good news of what has already been done for you, and it's available to everybody in the room. All right, so here's what I want us to do this morning for the next few minutes that we have together, and then we're just going to continue to sing and celebrate and baptize. It's going to be amazing, okay? I want us to simply talk about who Jesus Christ is. Who is Jesus Christ? And more poignantly, and I want to say this gently as a question for you to consider, even if you think you know the answer. Who is Jesus Christ to you? Who is Jesus Christ? And who is Jesus Christ to you? Meaning, who do you say that Jesus Christ is? There are lots of speculations about Jesus. He's the most famous person to ever live. It's indisputable, undeniable, regardless of whether you're a Christian in the room or you're not yet a Christian. It is undeniable, indisputable that Jesus Christ is the most famous person to ever live. More books have been written about Jesus than anybody else on the face of the planet. We determine how we think about time on the basis of Jesus' life and death. Okay, so nobody disputes or argues the reality that Jesus existed, that Jesus of Nazareth existed over 2,000 years ago. There are all sorts of ideas and speculations on Jesus, and so let me just read a few of them to you. Okay, some people believe that Jesus was a good moral teacher, that Jesus taught us how to live a good life. Okay, and if we follow the teachings of Jesus to the best of our ability, then we can live the good life or experience the good life. Some people thought or think that Jesus was simply a wise sage, meaning that Jesus is a person who has really wise things to say, and certainly he is the wisest person to ever live. But some people think he is merely that, nothing more than that, just a wise person with wisdom to share with the world. Some people believe Jesus was a spirit who temporarily took on a body or appeared to have a body. Some people believe Jesus was a prophet of God who spoke true words, but ultimately was just a man. Nothing more than a prophet appointed by God to speak true words. Early Roman Catholics believed him to be God, but a harsh judge that a person needed an earthly mediator or priest to approach. Some, though this is not as widely popular, believe Jesus to not have existed at all. Some modern historians today even believe that Jesus was an alien sent from outer space. Kind of a strange interpretation. All sorts of speculations about Jesus. Here's my point. Nobody really who's done their research argues that this man lived. That over 2,000 years ago, this man lived, and he made such a significant impact on the world that, well, as of 2011, so it's more now, over 2.2 billion people in the world profess faith in his name. It's the most significant human person to ever live. And here's what we've been talking about in the book of Hebrews, and this is, I hope, such good news for you. That we believe, emphatically believe, will base our life on the belief that God exists. That when we walk outside and we look out into creation, when we look into one another's eyes and we experience person-on-person love with one another and all of those kinds of things, we do not conclude that all of this came to be by chance or by happenstance. We believe that God exists, but not just that God exists, that God has spoken. That he didn't leave himself as a mystery for us to figure out because we never would have done that, but God has spoken. He's spoken to us through his word, and he's spoken to us through his son, Jesus. And so for us this morning, my challenge for us, instead of speculating on who we think Jesus is, what we believe about him, or maybe what some of the historians or the theologians say, that we would go to the Bible and we would listen to God speak to us from the Bible about who Jesus is. Jesus was and is fully human, according to the Bible. Jesus was not just a spirit who temporarily took on what appeared to be a body. Jesus was and is fully human. He's the most fulfilled, perfect, happy, joyful person to ever walk the earth. He's the most kind person to ever walk the earth, the most generous person, feeding over 9,000 people collectively between two different feedings of people during his earthly ministry. He's the most interruptible person, like when Jesus is on his way to do ministry with a ton of followers behind him. A woman is walking by on the way to bury her son. Jesus stops in the midst of his busyness, looks her in the eye and has compassion on her, raises her son back to life. He is interruptible. Jesus is the most wise, always answering questions with questions in a way that only Jesus can, to get to the heart of people. He's the most sympathetic, like when he weeps over Lazarus' death, knowing in a few moments he's going to raise him back to life. He's the most humble, like being willing to stoop down and wash the feet of his disciples. He's the most present with people, like he was with the woman at the well. He's the most enjoyable person for sinners and sufferers to be around, like the tax collectors and prostitutes who flocked to him in droves, who he sat down with at the dinner table. They enjoyed him. He's the most interested in people. He's the God who sees. He's a true leader. He uses his strength not to oppress, but to stand up for the oppressed. He's the most forgiving, like Zacchaeus, who everybody else hated. Jesus was the perfect man, but he's more than that. Jesus is God with us. He is God with us. This is what the Bible testifies about Jesus, and nothing less than this. He is all of these things and so much more. He is the very God who came to be with us. So I want to give five statements from our text about Jesus, and I want to do it in light of the resurrection. Okay, five statements about Jesus in light of the resurrection. Number one, if you look at verse 10, says, "And you, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands." The author is talking about Jesus. You laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. So the first thing is Jesus is the creator of all things. He's the creator of all things. John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's Jesus. All things were made through him, and apart from him was not anything made that was made. Colossians 1 says, all things are made through him, and he holds all things together. Jesus is the creator of all things. The author of Hebrews takes this quote from Psalm 102, verses 25 to 27. It says, in the beginning you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. This is what he's quoting from to say that Jesus is this God. He is the God who laid the foundations of the heavens, of the earth, and the heavens are the work of his hands. And so while you and I know that the world is not what it was intended to be, as we can very simply look out and see that reality, we can see that reality in our own hearts, things are not what they are intended to be, the remaining beauty of creation cries out to us that there is a creator who wisely and beautifully wove it all together, and that creator is Jesus. He's the creator of all things. Number two, he says, they will perish, talking about the earth, they will perish, but you remain. You're the same, and your years will have no end. So number two is Jesus is eternal and unchanging in his being. Jesus is eternal and unchanging. This is a quote from Psalm 102 again. They will perish, but you remain. They all wear out like a garment. Hebrews 13:8 promises something amazing, and I want us to consider it for a moment. It says, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, speaking of Jesus. Think about the unchangeability of Jesus for a moment. I despise change. I don't like it. I don't like unexpected things happening in my life. I don't like loss. I don't like my day unfolding in a way that I wasn't planning or anticipating it to be. I struggle with control. I don't like that. But here's the good news for us this morning, for those of us who are in Christ. Jesus never changes. Your circumstances will continue to change, I promise you. For those who are parents, our kids are going to grow up and everything's going to change. For some who are single, some will get married, some will not, life will change. For those who are married, marriage will change. One day you and I will die. Things change. Jesus never changes. He is eternally the same in his being, and so we can trust him, and the resurrection proves this. If Jesus in his being never changes, his promises never change. And so everything that Jesus has promised us, like, I will come and I will bring you to myself, that where I am in glory, you will be also. That's true, and we know it because of the resurrection. We can look at the empty tomb and we can say, Jesus always keeps his promises. Why does he always keep his promises? Because he himself never changes. And so we can trust him. The same Jesus that spoke to the woman at the well, the same Jesus who spoke to Zacchaeus, the same Jesus who fed the 9,000 men, women, and children, the same Jesus who stopped what he was doing in the busyness of his ministry and looked at the woman with compassion, raising her son to life, that's the Jesus with us today, alive with us, now, in this place. He never changes. He's eternal in his being, and so we can trust him. Number three, the author says, they will all wear out like a garment, like a robe, you will roll them up. So here's another thing, the third thing that the resurrection points us to. Jesus will one day restore everything. Jesus will one day restore everything. He says, like clothing, you will change them and they will be discarded. So what he's saying is the present form of this world with our greatest enemies in life. What are our greatest enemies in life? We'll just do some talk back now. All right, that's, yeah. Yes, sir. Satan, okay, yeah, yeah. Those are true answers. The two that are in my mind are sin and suffering. Okay, the present form of this world as we know it today, with all of its disappointments and all of its sin and suffering, will one day be rolled up like a scroll. He'll restore everything. He's not done. 1 Corinthians 7:31 says, for the present form of this world is passing away like a mist. It's passing away. 1 Corinthians 13:12, for now we see in a mirror dimly, But then, on the day of Jesus, we will see face to face. Can you imagine what that's going to be like? Can you imagine what it's going to be like to stare in the face of Jesus and not know sin and suffering for the first time? Not know insecurity anymore because it'll have passed? Not know fear anymore because it will have passed? Or sadness, or depression, or anxiety, or loss? We see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Jesus will roll it all up like a scroll. He will restore all things. And here's another beautiful reality of the resurrection as well. Jesus was not resurrected with another destructible body. Jesus died once for all for the sins of his people. And when he was raised in an indestructible body, never to get sick again, never to die again, never to feel pain again. That's the same body, friends, if you're in Christ, that you and I will one day inherit. An indestructible body. The way that we were created to be. We look at Jesus and say, Jesus was the firstborn among many brothers and sisters, meaning as he is, so we will be. And the resurrection testifies to this. All really will be well. It is really all going to be okay. We can lose sight of that. It's one of the reasons that you and I have to do this on a weekly basis. More than that, okay, we cannot neglect the gathering, as he says in Hebrews 10, as is the habit of some, but all the more as that day, that glorious, beautiful, incomprehensible day is drawing near, we have to continue to meet together so that we can encourage one another in this. All will be well. Number four, and to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? This is a quote from Psalm 110, verse 1. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool. Number four, Jesus has and will take every victory over evil. How is he going to restore all things? All enemies are going to be put under his feet once for all. 1 Corinthians 15, 24 to 28. It's a longer text, but I'm just going to read it to us. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For God has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when it says all things are put in subjection, it is plain that he is accepted, who put all things in subjection under him. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to him who put all things in subjection under him, that God may be all in all. Here's essentially what Paul is saying. One day, every single enemy of God, an enemy of us, is going to be put under the authority of King Jesus. It's already under the authority of King Jesus, but one day that will be finalized and actualized when the last enemy to be defeated is death. He'll put all things under his feet. In the resurrection, Jesus has already defeated death. That's why we can sing that, and we can sing it honestly. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? The reality of death exists. The sting of death has been lost in the resurrection of Jesus. We feel it, we grieve it, we lament it, we hate it, and we should. Those are right responses to death. Death is not to be rejoiced over. It's the enemy of God. Not the way that it was intended to be, but Jesus in the resurrection has swallowed it up, and one day that will be fully and forever actualized when death ceases to exist forever. And then the last thing is that Jesus alone saves sinners and sufferers. Here's how he ends the text. Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? So now the author of Hebrews, as we conclude, the author of Hebrews talks about angels again. Okay, and we talked about this a little bit on Friday night. My sons were even like, why'd you talk about angels on Good Friday? It's like, it's in the passage, man. It's just what we got to do. So he's gonna talk about angels again. Here's the significance of why this is important for this audience and what it means for you and I today. Okay, angels exist. Angels exist. Even had a conversation with them last night where I said, guys, do you know that we're surrounded by angels all the time? Like, whoa, really? Now, some of us might hear that, and what I don't want to do is feed into a bad theology that I'm going to address in just a moment. Okay, and what the people of this particular church context were doing was they knew this reality, and instead of understanding and relating to angels the way that they were intended to, they began to worship them rather than worshiping the God who created them and who sent them. So angels are created messengers sent out by God to minister to, serve, and even at times protect his people. Psalm 91, 11, and 12 says this, "He will give his angels charge of you to guard you in all your ways." 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 15 and 17, Elisha says, "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." As this man looked out and saw the armies of his enemies surrounding him, said, "Oh my gosh, this is terrifying. We're going to get annihilated." And then Elisha prays that God would open his eyes in a moment and see that what was surrounding that army that he could see was an army of angels that he could not see. There's a reality that you and I live in that is an unseen spiritual realm, and it exists, and this is wonderful for us. It says, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha." Angels are a wonderful gift of God to serve God's people, protect God's people, but they're not to be worshiped. They're not to be worshiped because they cannot save. They are not God, and they cannot save. Jesus is the God who saves. We've talked a lot about the infinite nature of Jesus, creator, sustainer, the one of his will who's going to roll up creation like a scroll and renew everything, but he's the infinite God. He's also the personal God. He saves. It says in Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." And then in John 20, verse 31, "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." So who are those who are to inherit salvation? It says the angels are sent for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation. It's not those who have it all together. It's those who, by God's grace, come to the end of themselves and put all of their hope in Jesus. Jesus promises this, and this is for us. "Everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." And here's the closing question of Jesus for us. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Everyone. Former murderers, former rapists, former oppressors, former those who are oppressed, formerly sexually promiscuous, former liars, former thieves, former idolaters, everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Will you believe this?